So we're reading from Canto 4, chapter 30th, text 35, the activities of the Pachetas. Yatra idyante kata nishta tishnaya vashama yata nivegam yatra bhuteshu na udvega yatra kashchana yachedyante katamishta tishnaya pashamo yata nivegam yatra bhuteshu nodvego yatra kashchana Yachetyante katamishcha Krishnaya pashamo yata Nivegam yatra bhuteshu Nodvego yata kashchana Yachetyante katamishtas Krishnaya pashamo yata Nivegam yatra bhuteshu Nodvego yatra kashchana Yatra, where? Idyante, I worshipped or discussed. Kata, words. Mishta, pure. Krishnaya, of material hankerings. Pashama, satisfaction. Yataha, by which. Nivegam, non-enviousness. Yatra, where. Bhuteshu, among living entities. Na, not. Udvegaha, fear. Yatra, where. Kashchana, any. Translation. Whenever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kind of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear responsibly. Whenever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Vaikuntha means without anxiety, and the mature world means full of anxiety. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Sada Samunvigna Dhiyam Ashat Rahat. The living entities who have accepted this material world as a residence are full of anxiety. A place immediately becomes Vaikuntha whenever the holy topics of the personality of Godhead are discussed by pure devotees. This is the process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, chanting and hearing about the Supreme Lord Vishnu. As the Supreme Lord Himself confirms, Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam vidayeshu va tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta. My dear Narada, actually, I do not reside in my abode, Vaikuntha, nor do I reside within the hearts of the yogis, but I reside in that place where my pure devotees chant my holy name and discuss my form, pastimes, and qualities. Because of the presence of the Lord in the form of the transcendental vibration, the Vaikuntha atmosphere is evoked. This atmosphere is without fear and anxiety. One living entity does not fear another. By hearing the holy name and glories of the Lord, a person executes pious activities. Shinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, Bhagavatam 1:2:17. Thus this material hankerings immediately stop. The Sankirtan movement started by the Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant for creating Vaikuntha, the transcendental world that is without anxiety. Even in the mature world, the method is the propagation of Shravanam Kirtanam process throughout the world. In the mature world, everyone is envious of his fellow man. Animalistic envy exists in human society as long as there is no performance of Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. The Pachitas therefore decided to remain always in the society of devotees, and they considered that to be the highest benediction possible in human life. Whenever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. Yache jante kata mishcha trishnaya pashamo yata niviram yache bhuteshu nudvego yache kashchana. Om Jnana Timandasya Jnana Jala Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guru Vena Maha Shri Chaitanya Manuvishtam Shtapitam Jina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Adeti Swaparantikam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasini Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatu Vyacha Kipasinyu Vyacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhashtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Parchati Teshtraine Jagbapad Ki Jai. Tvam Tu Raja Manishreti Pashum Bhudim Aham Jadi. In the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, in his final instructions to Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami tells him that you just give up this animalistic propensity of fear that I'm going to die. And then he starts giving him this Bhagavad Gita 101, that you're not this body, you're not going to come back as your grandsons or great-grandsons. Just fix your mind on the absolute truth. Give up this fear propensity. Obviously, in the third canto also, if you read, you'll see that Parikshit Maharaj already told him that I have no fear to die. Takshaka can come anytime and I'm going to die. I have no fear. So obviously Shukadeva Goswami is giving, it's only what, 26 verses, this, I think it's the second chapter of the 12th canto. So he's giving his final instructions for us, not for Parikshit Maharaj, who's a pure devotee. Same way he instructed Arjuna. So he had no fear, but we have fear. And this is an animalistic propensity. So there's a word in the 11th canto in the second chapter, there's a word called dvitiya nivesha. It's like, it explains fear, bhayam, that whenever we don't recognize something, whenever we see duality, whenever there's something that doesn't seem that we can recognize, at that time the atmosphere of fear develops within the heart. Like for example, if you work for the government, then wherever you go, you feel very confident. That wherever I go, I have power. But at the moment you go into an area where the government has no power, then fear develops within the heart. Because you're not recognizing things. Like if you're in the war, you're on your side of the camp, then there's no fear. But the moment you go on the other side, there's so many things that you cannot recognize, and then fear comes within the heart. So basically, fear means that we don't see Krishna everywhere. That's the real meaning of fear. Abhay means to see Krishna everywhere. Because if you have fear, means you don't understand Krishna, or we don't, in general, the person. That Krishna is actually in charge of everything and I don't die and Krishna is eternal, he'll always be there with me, I'm eternal. So at the moment that I forget this concept and I don't see Krishna in everything, then fear or bhayam develops. Like for example, if you're walking in the jungle, it's dark, it's very easy to get scared. You're thinking this root, is a snake, there's someone in back of a tree. So many things in your mind comes. Because we're not recognizing things. But as the daylight comes, as everything starts coming up, you start recognizing things. Oh, this is a root, this is a tree, this is a plant. So then fear goes away. Because I can recognize things as they are. There's a story in Greece when I was a child. And this man came back home late at night on his donkey. And he came back mute, he couldn't speak. Something shocked him. He came back, he couldn't speak at all. So they decided to bring him back where he was coming. The next day they went in the day and brought him the same path. And what did he see? He see that on the top of a branch was his hat. Because when he was going on the donkey at night, his hat was taken away. So that's really scared him. He was thinking, oh my gosh, there's some ghost or something. But when he came back and he saw reality, he could actually see things as they are, then his fear went away. Then he started speaking again. Because the fear comes when I don't know, but at the moment that knowledge comes back and I see things as they are, my fear goes away. Like the child is crying, mommy, there's something under my bed. So the light is turned on. So when the light is turned on, then he can see, or she can see that nothing is there. And then they ask, please keep the light on. Because with the light I can see that there are actually no living entities, no demons, nothing under my bed. So fear means I don't actually see things in its proper perspective. I see things based on my body consciousness. I mean, one of the main characteristics of chanting is it frees one from egotism, from false ego. It destroys false ego. Like if you remember Dhruva Maharaj's story, he had a lot of ego. He wanted a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather. He was 5, but he says, I'm going to get revenge. And that's why he went to the forest, and that's what kept him fighting and looking for Vishnu. So much ego. But what happened when he saw the Lord? Immediately his ego got destroyed. He had no desire for nothing. So the Lord asked him, what do you want? He says, I don't want nothing. I'm just happy to see you. He said, no, you wanted something. He said, no, I don't want anything. But you wanted something. So because he wanted something for 36,000 years, he had to rule in kingdom. He still had to stay in the material world. But at the moment that he saw the Lord, everything got dissipated. Everything got destroyed. Because he could see things in perspective. It's when we don't see things in perspective that we become disturbed. Like for example, if you have a businessman, everything he thinks or he sees is based on business. If you have a lusty man, everything he sees is based on lust. You have a family man, everything he sees is children. He doesn't see anything else, just children. Because his consciousness is based on these items. It's like if you have glasses, and the lenses have different colors. So if you have red glasses, lenses, then you see red. And if you see, if you have blue lenses, you see blue. Green, you see green. So the heart is contaminated, the lust, the anger, the greed, the pride, the illusion. All these elements just contaminate the heart and force us to see things based on these items. That's why the Shikshashtakam said that the holy name destroys, takes away the dust from the mirror of the heart. So it's this contamination that stops us from seeing things properly, that stops seeing things as they are. And because of that, we always suffer. The bird is always thinking, when am I going to eat? How am I going to feed my kids? When am I going to sleep? Is an animal going to come, eat my children, eat me? When are they going to attack me? This is animal propensity. And that's why Shukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, you give up that animal propensity and you fix your mind on the absolute truth. And these symptoms are still there, at least in me. This fear always, how to take care, will I get taken care of? But imagine if you tell your father all this time, will you feed me? Yeah, I'll feed you. Will you dress me? Yeah, obviously I'll dress you. So the Christians are thinking, oh, they're praying for their daily bread, right? Will you give me bread? Yeah, I'll give you bread. You're my son. You're my daughter. So this is a natural thing. So Krishna gives in any case. So we have to come to that stage of always depending on the Lord. But that comes from the freedom of contamination within the heart. Because if the heart is contaminated, there's no way to see things as they are. And that's why you see when people come to temples, they do little Hare Krishna, and even I experienced, especially in the beginning, oh my gosh, you feel so peaceful. They feel happy. You see people come on Harinam and they dance. They're so satisfied. Why? Because the holy name has cleansed their heart. At least a little bit. And when the holy name has cleansed their heart, then you can see things. They can start seeing things properly, in perspective. And they're always joyful. Bhama Bhuta Bhusanat Manasochitina Kamshati. Then when you come, obviously they're not at that stage, but when I come to that stage, I'm free from hankering, from lamentation. I'm always on the stage of pure happiness. But that's what the holy name does. Imagine if Krishna came in this room, what would happen? Huh? Imagine Krishna just came. Everything would be illuminated with transcendental knowledge. We would become totally pure. We'd start crying in ecstasy. The hair would stand on end, just in contact with the Lord. Whoever came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what's the name of this devotee with the whip? and when he would hit them, they would develop love of God. Huh? Abhira. So just by his whip, love of God. So imagine Krishna coming directly. In the Ishopanishad, Prabhupada speaks about the sun. It's antiseptic and it's prophylactic. That means that it cleanses and at the same time it prevents disease. And Prabhupada gives an example that when the sun comes and it goes onto stool, onto urine, it just purifies it. At one point it becomes purified. So imagine, what about the Lord? How much the Lord can purify. Imagine the Shyamantaka jewel. Shyamantaka jewel was just a jewel. Such a powerful jewel that there would be no disease, no hunger, no thirst. Imagine, just the jewel. So imagine the Lord's presence, what it does within their heart, or in any circumstances where the devotees sit down and they speak about the Lord in transcendence, and they feel transcendental happiness. It's because of that, of that association, that everything becomes pure. When Lord Ram was on the planet, they say there was no, it would only rain at night. Everything was perfect. It's explained in the Bhagavatam when Krishna would walk on the earth. There was crystals and there was gems. Everything would flourish. There would be no disturbance, no pain, nothing. Everything was perfect. Because the Lord's presence purifies everything. Obviously, based on our quality of surrender, then the Lord reacts. But if you remember that discussion between Gopal Chakravarti and Haridas Thakur was quoting from scriptures saying that when dawn comes, just by the light, immediately liberation comes, and immediately all these sinful reactions, the manifest, non-manifest, the seeds, all this gets destroyed. Even disease. Actually, I read in, I was checking for, in one of the books of Guru Govinda Maharaj, it's pretty interesting, he was explaining how in some villages, I don't know, he said they're still doing it now, but whenever there was cholera, some disease, then everyone in the village would just go all night and chant, go all around the village and chant, just to take away the disease. He said it would work. Because that's what, even in Namabhas, in the clinging stage, the effect of the chanting of the holy name takes away all sinful reaction, all disease, it takes everything away. So that's why that when we get together, when you have the Mela, people are so much in ecstasy. Because that is the contact with the Lord. Just to be in contact with the Lord makes us happy. And the degree that we're not happy is the degree of dirt within the heart. You can't use sponge and soap to clean the heart. You have to use the holy name and the process of devotional service. So here they say in that verse that whenever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience, they forget all kind of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, do they suffer from anxiety or fear. And later in the purport he says that non-enviousness. Because enviousness means come from body conception of life. I'm a cat, that means I don't like dogs. I'm a dog, I don't like cats. Because I'm a dog, I'm a cat. So I'm black, I don't like whites. I'm white, I don't like blacks. I'm Muslim, I don't like Hindus. Because that's what I am. But when one goes beyond that platform of body consciousness, then at that time, one gets freed and becomes fully blissful. And that's why when devotees get together, and that's why that's the only hope. The only hope is chanting. There's no other hope. And that's why when you see, I mean, as long as someone chants, there's hope. Sometimes you may think these people are not doing good, or they may be falling down, or whatever it is, or we may have problems, but as long as we chant, as long as we have faith in the process of devotional service, full faith in the lotus feet of the Lord, as long as we chant, because Krishna is all purifying. Krishna is transcendental. So in contact with us, in contact with the heart, then we will be satisfied and we can be become transcendental. And that's what we feel when we're all together. And that's what we see when we go on high now. You can see people who never come on Harinam, I'm seeking outside people. You see that in America. They start dancing and chanting. They just feel happy. I remember in Montreal, this man was sitting in front of Prabhupada and we wanted to close the temple. So I told him that we're closing the temple. He says, yeah, I asked him what he was waiting for. He was in front of Prabhupada. He says, I'm just waiting for him to come out of his meditation. The deity. Sorry. All the class you couldn't hear? Only now you told me? Good. I'm not starting over. And I was saying in Montreal, this man was sitting in front of Prabhupada and we were closing the temple. So I asked him, I said that we have to close. He said, yeah, I'm coming. I'm just waiting for him to come out of his meditation. He was seeing Prabhupada. Because he's thinking Prabhupada was real. He could actually see, he could actually perceive. So these are real true elements. Everything else is false. It's like, for example, when you go on a plane, the higher you go, the more Maya looks small. And the lower altitude you go, the more Maya looks big. And the lower altitude you go, the more Krishna seems to be an illusion. So the higher consciousness go, the more Krishna becomes real. Everything else is false. Obviously, we have to deal with it. But everything else is false. It will never give happiness. It will never give satisfaction. Although we have to do duties. Everything is based on duty. The whole Bhagavad Gita means duty. Duty, duty. That's how we come to Brahma Bhuta stage. We do our duties. Not that I like it or I don't like it or this or that. No, I do it because it's my duty. And then by doing my duty, then I can go over the modes of nature because the modes are always pushing me down and up and down and up. So I have to do my duty, then I go over, then I come to Brahma Bhuta stage. So that is the only real thing. But then the question is, why not become Bhajananandis, right? There's a mountain in Greece called Mount Athos. And the only way you could go to that mountain, it was all monks. And in that mountain, no females, even female chickens couldn't go. Huh? Just males. So, Mount Athos, here you go. Actually, I'll tell you the story, you won't want to go anymore. So, you had to go in a basket. That's how you went. It was difficult to reach. Bhajananandis, they had caves, and in these caves they would meditate for 10, 15 years. They would try to become self-realized. They didn't get up one time for Mangalati, they get up 3-4 times for Mangalati. In different parts of the night they would get up. And they were vegetarians, they chant Kirilesan, which is like Hare Krishna mantra, the breath coming in, the breath coming out, they would chant. But because they're not Goshtianandis, because they were not used to confront material energy, someone started doing a spa station at the bottom of the hill, and all these ladies in, you know, bikinis, and everything started coming, and then the cell phones started coming in. So a lot of these monks fell down because they couldn't. So it's not that Krishna's transcendental, we just stop and we just sit and we just meditate. I don't know if you know that story. There was a devotee from Kenya. And he was telling Prabhupada in Mayapur that you please build me a bhajan kutir. And then I can just chant. So Prabhupada was really adamant. He was not going to do it. He told them, no, you cannot do it. But this Kenyan devotee was even more adamant. So Prabhupada said, okay. He told the devotees to build him a bhajan kutir. And he went there, but a few days later he left. So that's why we're Goshtianandis, we're preachers. Because we have to become transcendental while doing our duty. And it's our duty, our service that protects us from Maya. And as we make spiritual advancement, then we naturally, the effect of the chanting remains within the heart. I'll give you one personal example. Since my kids were born, I have young kids and I take care. I always chant, I always come to the morning program, but my chanting not so good. You know, taking care of the kids, cooking, doing so many things. So I went to Radhadesh 2 years ago. They invited me for giving classes and all this. And for 10 days I had no kids and nothing. I could just chant. And my chanting had improved so much. I just sat down for 2 hours and chanted my rounds like I never chanted. So even though for 6 years or so, my rounds were not so good, but I was determined to chant my rounds and doing my duty, I got purified. And how did I notice it is that when I was chanting, I could actually sit down and chant even better than before. So we Goshtinandis, we preachers. Preachers means we do our duties, we take care of our families, we try to give Krishna consciousness. We don't just think, oh, chanting is so great, it's going to purify us. And at the same time, we practice the practice of sadhana bhakti. And then gradually, when the time of death will come, then naturally we'll be able to go back to Krishna, naturally. Isn't it, Prabhupada said, for preachers, book distributors, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in your mind and he forces himself in his mind. I know a few years ago, Giriraj Maharaj told me he had lost maybe 2-3 disciples. And he told me that he saw that his disciples jump. There's so many stages, 9 stages, bhakti. And he could see them jump these stages very quickly. Because if you serve Krishna, Krishna takes care of us directly. It's like if you have an orphan, the orphan's not eating. And then you have the son of a king is not eating either. So what's the difference? Both are not eating. The difference is that one has a father and the other one doesn't have a father. So one is Krishna punishing his child, and the other one, he just doesn't have a father, he's not eating. So whatever devotees suffer, they suffer because Krishna is giving us. You may think, oh, I'm not an advanced devotee, but imagine if you have a group of people, you and your family, you're taking care of them. One person may not be completely involved or advanced or whatever it is, but he's still part of your people. So I'm going to take care of that person naturally. So Krishna takes care, even if you chant a little bit, you give a little bit, Krishna is feeling so loyal. Even a little bit, he gives back so much. So Krishna takes care. So if we have faith in the process, and faith in that process that when we chant and when we create the Vaikuntha or the spiritual world where we perform sadhana bhakti, then at the time of death, naturally we'll be able to think of the Lord and go back to Him. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? A little shorter because my voice is not so strong. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
And you said, mentioned that when the Lord appeared before Nanda Maharaj, then all of his desires went away. So why is that? I understand that it happened, but why?
Well, material desires come from false ego, identifying with the body. And if we understand that Krishna is transcendental and purifies everything, then all these body conscious desires went away. He actually could see the pure self. So when you see the pure self, you actually see, I'm not this body, I'm not American, I'm not a woman, I'm not a man. That's not me. Me wanting to have the kingdom greater than my great-grandfather, that's not me. What's the use? I'm spirit soul. I have no need for this. Isn't it? He actually saw. That's the thing. When fear creates identification. Walking in the forest, it's dark. The light comes, you start seeing things as they are. Then fear goes away. And when fear goes away, you see Krishna. And that's the definition of fear. That I see a difference between, I don't see Krishna everywhere. It's in the 11th canto, second chapter. Okay. Anything else? Questions? Comments? Yes, Prabhuji. I'm not sure of the answer for that. What I know is that... No, it's a good question. All I know is you have to be careful what you desire, because whatever you desire, you'll get it. Even though you may come to an... Like Jat Bharat, even though he was in the bhava stage, he was attached to a deer, because Prabhupada said there was still some element of karma there, subtle karma. And he was in bhava. So whatever stage we're in, even though we may be in very advanced stage, they may be still sticking there where we have to take the reaction. That leaves someone else answer. His question is that if Dhruva became pure, why would it be that Krishna is forcing him to live in the material for 36,000 years and satisfy that desire to have a greater, a kingdom bigger than his great-grandfather? But the thing also you have to understand, Dhruva is on the transcendental platform, so the Lord must have had also some special, you know, plan for him. But if anyone else wants to, yes, Ganagami Prabhu.
Krishna's sweet will is whatever he wants.
Yes.
He may fulfill our desires or not fulfill our desires. And he may torture us by fulfilling our desires or not fulfilling our desires. But his sweet will is supreme. And the devotee who doesn't argue with that, Dhruva would never ask that question. Why can't I just go back to God?
Ganagami Prabhu says that Krishna's sweet will, that based on, the devotee's not going to question why Krishna's going to give him that type of either punishment or suffering. He'll just accept whatever Krishna gives him. So it's based on Krishna's sweet will. Yes. Oh. Is it in continuation with this?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you say?
What I'm saying is like, once the person sees the constant form,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, why does he still have to suffer for his desire if he becomes pure?
The other one is asking a question. Dhruva, after seeing the Lord,
yes.
All his desires are...
Yes, so why does he have to suffer the consequence of his original desire if he becomes pure? So what were you saying? You're not talking about that. Yes, but what we're discussing now is why is it that if Dhruva became totally pure with no desire, why is it that he still had to live in the material for the 36,000 years? You had something to say? You will.
Loud.
There's no mic, yeah?
It's loud.
Loud. Yes, definitely. Well, let me just explain to them just so people can hear. What Prabhu is saying is that so many devotees like Yudhishthira Maharaj and all this suffered, and Kunti Devi, so we can ask also why were they suffering if they were protected by the Lord. On this point that one devotee got initiated by Prabhupada in 77 and his daughter was mute, could not speak, so Prabhupada said that you chant kirtan for 24 hours or something, and they chanted and then she became unmute because of the chanting, which come in relationship to this quote from Govinda Maharaj, Guru Govinda Maharaj, that devotees would go around the village to kick out the disease. But still the question is there, because it's like when we're going to go, let's say we go back to God and we become pure, is it that we have to come back for all our material desires? No. because material desires get destroyed. So how is it that Dhruva had to suffer? I think the only reason is, I don't know if he suffered. It was quite a big position. But I mean, I think the answer is it was sweet will of the Lord, what Gyanagami Prabhu was saying. I would see it like that. Okay, you heard this?
No.
What he's saying is that the child is wants to eat cookies at night, and the mother's telling him that you're going to get sick. The child doesn't want to hear. Okay, eat all the cookies and get sick, and when you understand that, you'll never eat more cookies again. Like the example of Prabhupada and his son wanting to put his finger into the fan, you know that story? And one of his friends told him, just let him put his finger in the fan. Then when he hurts himself, he'll never put his finger again. Basically, isn't it? That's what you're saying. Yes, Pritchard.
You answered this problem, what seems to satisfy egos as an answer is that quickening his prayer,
yes. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah, like Yudhishthira asking Narada Muni, why are we suffering with devotees? He says, because you are the devotees, you're suffering. He's asking Krishna, right? Because you are my devotees, that's why you're suffering. Maybe suspicion that if he didn't suffer the reaction, then people would say he didn't really love the Lord or transform himself. He's just doing it because he doesn't want the reaction. Can I get a book? Just. Yes. I gave from Montreal that this man was waiting for Prabhupada to come out of his meditation, the Prabhupada Murti. He said there was a raid in New York, so the police people came, and one policeman pointed the gun at Prabhupada Murti like this, like he's a real person, but like, so the devotee said, you're going to wait for a very long time for him to get up. Prabhuji? Yes.
It's kind of cool.
Kind of what?
It's kind of cool the way the Lord fulfilled Dhruva's desire, because the desire was an impossible desire.
Yeah, it was impossible.
So he asked for a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. There's no such thing as a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. No, it doesn't exist.
No.
So it's cool that he fulfilled the desire by giving him the transcendental planet within the material world.
Right.
The indestructible planet. Because Lord Brahma's kingdom gets destroyed. But this kingdom will never be destroyed. Therefore, it's a greater kingdom. So it's kind of cool.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.